From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, Out of Control episode, in between games. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. A lot of news with the Knicks as of recently, the last 24 hours. I know we're going to get to all that stuff. Real quick plugs, I'll be about 30 seconds with that. All the other episodes talking all the other sports, our teams, leagues as a whole. The Rangers episodes up there. We got the Giants and the NFL on Thursday. BleedBlueShow.com/podcast for audio archive episodes. And as well, like I said, go there to download iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and Stitcher apps to download all of our content, to hear the great stakeholders speak, and share the episodes with your friends and family, man. We deeply appreciate that, man. Good gesture. Let's get right into this, man. We already know that you got the disaster in the game versus the Bucks last night with Porzingis going out for the year with the torn ACL. And I feel kind of bad for him in the sense that I've been kind of hard on him all year this year. I think it was in the second quarter he had a dunk on the Greek Freak, and we already know with the ACL he dunked the ball. He fell to the floor. He grabbed the back of his left knee. You feared for the worst. You knew it was kind of the ACL. If you've been watching sports as long as I have, or even 20 years or more, when you see a player do that, it is pretty much a wrap. You knew he was done. And it's unfortunate the way it happened, because for a long time I've kind of killed him, saying that he needs to attack more. He needs to attack more. He needs to stop being passive with the jump shot. And lo and behold, the move, he goes to the rim and dunks it. It breaks his knee. He breaks his ACL. And now he's pretty much going to be out for at least, I'll say, 11, 12 months. So pretty much he won't be back till at least 2019 at full strength. And it sucks, because we just saw the return of Jabari Parker, who's coming off of two ACLs. And we played them this past last night. And, of course, on Friday night, where his return versus the Knicks on Friday, coming back from that second ACL surgery. So I hate the fact that I had to criticize him. And in the moment he does do something as far as attacking the rim, he breaks his ACL. It really sucks. It's really unfortunate. I know we got that on the table. I know everybody wants to talk about Willie Hernan Gomez's trade to the Charlotte Hornets. And I know in return we get back Johnny O'Brien, who's pretty much been waived. He's been released. So in essence, the Knicks get 2 second round draft picks. I think it's in 2020 and 2021. So I knew I wanted to hear from the mouth of Scott Perry. And I waited and I waited and I waited. And I got the chance to hear from him on that. So, and I wanted to hear the logic, and it's pretty much what I thought initially when they made this transaction, and it was that they looked at it. It was like, the trade adds a lot of valuable draft picks. This is his quote. This trade adds valuable draft picks, better positioning for this team, and as well as builds for the future. But the only question is, I probably have to ask Av when we'll bring on Knickerbocker Av. I got to ask, the timing of this trade. Was this in the works after KP6 went down, or was this before he went down last night? Either or, even with that, whatever the answer happens to be, I want to know why, if KP6 was hurt and then they made this trade, did they feel that the Knicks' season was over anyway? Because that's the kind of the message you were implying, like, okay, well, we're going to ship him out anyway. We're not going to win with him in the lineup anyway. So that's kind of the way I took it. And then and another thing I wanted to bring is, what's everybody's thoughts on Hardaway Jr.? Because he looks off, man. I think he's injured. They probably won't put that in public, but he does not look explosive at all. I think he's hurt. But he's playing through the injury. I don't want to make excuses for him. He's not going to say that in public. And a lot of players who don't say that in public but still take the court or feel whatever, they're going to still try to do what they do. So those are the stuff I have on the table. I want to bring on everybody. We'll get Av on, and then after Av speaks, of course, we're going to get everybody to, you know, introduce themselves, quick roll call, and then we go back around. But you know, the infamous Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the New York Knicks, that's Facebook, Twitter, and also Instagram. Avenue, a lot of stuff going on with the Knicks, but a lot of it is pretty bad, but nonetheless, how you doing, sir?
What's going on, bud? Man, yeah, well, I called it, what was it, last night, once the news of KP, you know, officially being diagnosed with a torn ACL, but that was the season. The season's over. And basically, you know, the Knicks are at the point where I think that, to answer your question, Steve, you know, about it, was the deal done after the MRI? My answer to that is that it's like, I'm pretty sure that that was on the table for about a week, and the ACL situation ended up being what kind of like pushed it over the hill and saying, look, this is give me two for second rounders and call it a deal. And that's pretty much how I think it happened. It seemed a little bit desperate, but it does make sense. Billy wasn't getting any playing time anyway, and in all actuality, for a way out, you know, he wants to be on, you know, a key contributor, and I'm still wondering how he's going to do that in Charlotte, considering, you know, their big man situation, you know, between Kaminsky, Howard, you know, so on and so forth. But hey, it is what it is. The Knicks are right now in salvaging mode. I think they're top sellers, and they should really consider, you know, being creative in all these negotiations. And I hold that to Scott Perry. You know, before I hold this to Steve Mills, because yes, he's the general manager. He's the one fielding the calls. So I just also found out that Enes Kanter will not be playing in tomorrow's game. Rest assured, great big reason. He's being talked about, and there's a very good indication that he's out the window. And you know what team has been interested? I know Houston's been interested. I know the Golden State Warriors has already been talking about him. The Cleveland Cavaliers, and most notably, I think I heard that they were interested in him still as well. And they wanted to do a swap, but that kind of fell through. But it's time for the Knicks to, you know, to really start thinking about the future, you know, more or less when KP does return. By the way, I also found out that the Knicks called the Cleveland Cavaliers and asked about LeBron. I mean, I know that's stupid to mention that now, but hey, it's noteworthy. Teams have been asking. If LeBron's committed to Cleveland beyond this year, and it should be interesting. Come tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you know what the Knicks do if they move O'Quinn, Lee, and Kanter. Are they able to move Joakim Noah's contract? Are they able to you know to acquire valuable assets that not necessarily have to be for now, but for the future? Because at this point, that's pretty much what the Knicks are playing for. The rest of these games are not going to be meaningful at all. If anything, it'll be somewhat exciting because you're going to see some nice highlights of some of the young guys. I'm pretty sure you're going to see more Frank Ntilikina, more Trey Burke, more of Damian Dotson going forward. And there's going to be some exciting deals coming around, and we're all going to be sitting here and having this powwow again. You know, because some people are going to need therapy because a lot of people like O'Quinn, a lot of people like Lee, a lot of people have fallen in love with Enes Kanter, but and a lot of these members of this team. So it'll be interesting to see what other moves are going to happen. But in terms of the games themselves, I'll be honest with you, dude. I'm like watching snippets of the game because I pretty much know what the end result is, and it's been pretty much, you know, at least three games in a row, we're losing at the final shot. Except, of course, you know, last night's game, you know, we got blown out. But the Knicks need a change, and that's why I have personally started on Twitter, hashtag pull the plug. But at this point, now with the season being what it is, pull the plug at the end of the season because, you know, bringing another coach right now makes zero sense.
All right, Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the Knicks. Av, we're going to bring everybody on simultaneously. We're not going to do one by one. So really quick, just introduce yourself. Yeah, everybody just introduce yourselves and just say hello, such and such. Everybody's familiar with everybody on this platform. So we go right down the line. We bring everybody in the order that they called. And also, just a quick intro, then we're going to go right back to you. So we'll go with Marlo first and then get to Chandler. Marlo, what's going on? Introduce yourself. Everybody knows who you are on this platform. How are you doing?
Hey, Steve Knickerbocker. How's everyone doing? Not bad, brother.
Not bad. All right, let's go to Chandler, NightChandler7 on Twitter. NightChandler7, how you doing?
Chandler. I don't know, man. You've been real hostile towards me on Twitter. How y'all doing, man?
I'm the big homie.
That's Chandler, NightChandler7. Thank you for holding it right there. Dominic, what's up, man? How you doing?
Chandler, Dominic.
Good evening, fellas. How's everybody doing?
Good, Dominic.
Big Dom.
What's up, man?
Let's go to Dre. Dre, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing?
Well.
Shout out to Dre. All right, hold on, Dre. Hold on to Dre. And then caller in 7122. Don't know who this is. 7122, who's this?
Yeah, this is Mr. Love.
Oh,
what up, brother?
Mr. Live is with us. That's my bad, John. Mr. Live is with us. Shout out to Mr. Live. So we got everybody on right now. We're going to go right down the line. Marlo, you already know the topics on the table and anything you'd like to add. Porzingis, Hernandez, Gomez's trade. I even brought up Hardaway's play or lack thereof. Anywhere you want to go with this, and all those listening on Instagram and also Facebook, leave your comments. We'll shout out. Go ahead, Marlo. Fire away, man.
Before I get into the next, guys, I just have to say that I am just basking in this LeBron James and Tom Brady losing. I mean, this is just wonderful. I just love – I mean, my parents told me you shouldn't be happy in people's misery, but I'm pretty happy right now what's going on with those two. But I digress on that. Okay, let's get to the Knicks. Now, just like what you were saying, Steve, I feel a little bad with some of the comments I made because I was hard on KP too because he felt like he was a little entitled. And I didn't like that at all. He hasn't earned anything. And again, as Dom and Chandler would tell you, I would leave most of my KP comments to those two. I would address it with them, you know, on Twitter with some of the criticisms I have because anybody else I talked to with KP would just lose it and go ballistic. This is bad, but this is typical Knicks. You know, it's very sad. It's very unfortunate. And the Knicks are just not good deal makers either because they make it known that they don't want an asset as opposed to playing the asset and make it feel like it's something more. Because this thing with Willie Hernangómez, you know, if you gave him some sort of burn or some sort of life. But I understand what they're saying, the Knicks organizations, too. If you got Cantor and Kyle O'Quinn, of course, they're better players than Willie. So they're going to get more of the minutes. And the Knicks just had a problem with the roster. They just had no pieces that fit. They just had too many bigs on that team. So he's going to be the last man at the end of the bench. But him not getting any play doesn't make you feel. Sometimes you got to, you know, Knickerbocker Ave knows about this with Triple H at the game. Sometimes you got to play the game, and the Knicks are not good at playing the game. You got to make it seem like he's valuable to you, and people will try to give up more. Phil Jackson devalued Melo, and now the other players are getting devalued. But, you know, this season right now is a wash. It's a shame, and blessings to KP. You know, I'm hoping and praying for your speedy recovery. And Knickerbocker Ave probably fact-checked me on this. As far as I'm hearing, it's like 12 to 13 months before he can even sniff a court again. So, I mean, me personally, if I was the Knicks, I would just have a fire sale. You know, the Lees, the O'Quins, anything. Whoever gives me a call, you can have them. Because we're not going to be good for the next about two years. And you know what's funny? I'm saying we're not going to be good. We haven't been good. And this brings up my next point. They said, I saw on Twitter, if we lose on Friday's game, I think the next game we're going to be, I think, 23-36. The past 3 years at this point of the season, we were 23-36. We've had the same record 3 years. And you know what, guys, I'm telling you, what Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka said, I appreciate what they said. They says, you know something, we're not going after the stars. We're going to wait maybe to 2019 when the Jimmy Butlers and the Kawhi Leonards and stuff are around. We're not going to chase the LeBrons and the Paul Georges. We're going to try to see what we can do to try to develop some of these players because, again, guys, the Knicks have yet to show a culture and they have yet to show that they could develop young talent. We give our young talent away and we do nothing with it when we do have young talent. So, and it kills me too. They say New York is not a market where you rebuild. Well, newsflash, we haven't been good in decades. So if you have to wait another 2-3 years, and I've been on record, I said that before. I said that about a year ago, and I said that 2 years ago. I'd rather this team have a direction and the building culture and deal with more losing seasons. At least I know what you guys are doing. I'm not saying tank. Don't jump on me, Dom. I'm not saying tank. I'm just saying that I'd rather if you – I know you have a direction and you're going to develop your young talent finally – and you have some sort of idea of what you're going to do, I'd rather deal with that because, guys, let's face it, we haven't been winning. You know, we Knicks fans act like we're used to championships, that we had championships in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. We haven't – I was 2 years old. How old am I? I'm 47. I was 2 years old when the Knicks won their last championship in 73. So we're not used to championships, but we have this yearn for doing it, for winning like we're used to winning. We're not used to winning. We're not moving ahead. So, again, if they could come with some sort of direction, I'm not sure what Scott Perry can do or what he has done. I'll try to trust in him, but I don't trust Steve Mills. I don't think anybody – I can't see Steve Mills fleecing anybody for any good assets or for anything. I don't see him as a deal maker or breaker. I mean, I know he's not going to be part of it. Mostly Scott Perry's going to be. But I'm telling you guys, again, this season is a wash, and basically next season is probably going to be a wash. If KP's not going to come back until around this time. I mean, you're not going to do any hopes for that. Let's just be patient. I'm sorry to say this. I know everyone hates it. But let's build because guess what, guys? Again, we're going to have the same record we had the past 2-3 years. So what is the sense of urgency like we're so used to being in the playoffs every year? You know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And again, I agree with Knickerbocker Ave because this is what I've been saying. No sense of firing Jeff Hornacek now. Let him play out the rest of the season because they're not going anywhere. They're really not going anywhere. And why have a coach come in and try to fix this mess and implement his own type of system? Might as well wait till that's all done and then let him get an idea of what he wants in the draft. And then we just go on from there. Again, have a direction. The Knicks never have one.
All right, let's go to Night Channel 7. That was Marlo on Twitter. Marlo on Twitter is at DragoNYC. Let's go to go back to Chandler, Night Channel 7. Let's go, Chandler. How you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, with the Hornacek thing, you know, I've said multiple times that they had to give him the full season no matter what. Win, lose, or draw, they had to give him a full season because that's the only right and professional and fair thing to do. You know I don't want Hornacek as the coach. However, I think the guy's trash. But they had to give him a full season, whether KP got hurt or not. He had to get a full season. But there is no direction. There's still no direction. Oh, and by the way, Lundqvist gave up one of the softest goals ever tonight. But anyway, there's no direction.
Oh, you saw that.
You bury a young player. Okay, he doesn't fit into your future plans. Okay, you showcase him so that you can get some value for him. You don't do that. You have an off-injured player you gave a bad contract to. You showcase him or at least give him some playing time to feed his ego so when you want to buy him out, he's willing to be bought out at a reasonable price. You don't do that. You bury him and you embarrass him. So now he's not being – he wants every nickel. And you know James Dolan ain't giving him a dime, so he's now stuck on this franchise, you know, because nobody's going to trade for him. You have young players, but you're burying the young players, and you won't give them minutes, and you're going to give them minutes. whether they get rid of everybody, and yeah, I can see Cantor going to Golden State. I think he'd fit well with Golden State. I think he'd fill the David Lee role that David Lee had when he went to Golden State, which was a guy who can give them minutes, give them rebounds, give them points. There are some guys on this roster that contending teams can use. Courtney Lee can be used on a contending team. Kylo Quinn can be used on a contending team. But I don't believe Steve Perry is in charge of making the decisions, because we all know that Steve Mills said he has the final call. And everything of this smacks of Steve Mills. You know, Steve and I had this conversation on Twitter, because the only constant in everything that's been going on, different coaches, different players, how many good God, how many iterations of this team has there been? There's been one constant, and it's Steve Mills. And we're in the same place we always are, starting over. We're in the same place we always are. So I don't believe that Scott Perry has the ability to do what he wants to do. I think if Scott Perry had been in charge, I think Joakim Noah would have played some. I think Willie Hernangómez would have played some, enough to drive up their value so you can go to Noah and say, you know what, you don't fit what we want to do, let's work on a buyout. And Noah would have done that, I believe. I believe you could have gotten more than 2 second-rounders in 20 and 21 for a guy that was an all-NBA rookie. Was he the second coming of Moses Malone? No. Could he have been a serviceable part of your future or some other team? Yes, I think he will be. Could he have gotten you more than 2 second-rounders 2 years from now? I think so. We'll never know, because the coach is coaching for his job, which again speaks to the fact that they didn't do something they needed to do. Tell Jeff Hornacek, like Philly told Brett Brown, hey, we don't care how much you lose. We need to see what we have in these young players, so play these young guys. Try to win as much as you can. I'm not about tanking. You guys know that. I'm with Dom on that. You don't learn to win by losing, but you also need to find out what you have. We're losing games at the end of games with Jarrett Jack on the floor, who's a veteran, with Courtney Lee on the floor, who's a veteran, and Tim Hardaway on the floor, who's a veteran. So why aren't you playing these young guys? Because you can't do worse, because you got veterans making bonehead plays. At the end of the day, we're right back where we always are with Steve Mills in charge, which is starting over. And it's frustrating. You know, hopefully now that they're going to be selling the farm, hopefully some of these guys will get some time, simply so we can see, as fans and the organization can see, what we have and if we have any sort of foundation. Because that's really what this is about now. It's really not about wins and losses. It's about seeing if you have any talent whatsoever going forward, because the talent that you have on this team has been wasted. And I said this, and I'm going to continue to say it. I know Dom always disagrees with me, but a better coach would have had this team in far better position. It can't keep being the players. It can't keep being the players when you've had so many different iterations of players and you wind up in the same position year after year after year. It can't keep being the players, which then leads to management, because the only constant in all this is Steve Mills.
That is Chandler Knight, Chandler 7 on Twitter. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, Chandler. Let's go to Dominic DiNardo DP on Twitter. Dominic, go ahead and fire away, sir. Then we go to Dre, and then to John. Go ahead, Dominic.
All right, I'm going to try to go backwards. I'm not even going to get on all the hype. But, you know, I was the guy that looked at the glasses being half full. But Chandler makes some good points, and there's always a but. You know, we talk about the young pieces, but are they really that talented? You know, when you look at the coach and what the coach should have done, again, I always put my head and say, I'm not there. I'm not in the practice. I'm not seeing these guys' work ethic. But what you're seeing is, though they may be young, one, are they NBA ready? Are they really that talented? Which takes me to Willie Hernangómez. He was what he was. He could have been first-team rookie last year. Again, we don't see what they see. We don't see the progression or the regression in these players. I can't imagine being a coach and having a really stud player, and I just refuse to play him. And Gomez is going to learn this. One of y'all brought it up. He's going to learn this in Charlotte. You guys know I watch all the Hornet games, so I guess I'll still be in touch with Willie. But where does he fit in with Charlotte? Y'all mentioned Zeller, Howard, Kaminsky. Is he better than any of them? No, he's not. I mean, it is what it is sometimes. You know, we keep talking about these young pieces, but it seems like going to Marlowe's point, we get these young players, but are they the right young players? Are they always a project? Are they always one-dimensional? I mean, we're seeing it now with our eighth pick in the draft last year. You know, we might as well just – I wish the Knicks would just come out and say, hey, you know what, we're looking toward the 2022 season. Some of us might be collecting Social Security by then. I don't know. But to think that we're going to go somewhere anytime soon now, and again, going back to Chandler, you bring up a great point. Mills is the elephant in the room. We said this, I don't know when it was, guys, a year ago, 2 years ago, you know, five coaches in 7 years, 6 years, but there's been one constant piece in that puzzle. Mills, even when Phil Jackson was there, we still had Mills. So we move forward. We're going to put our faith in this Perry, but we still have Mills. And we got to be careful, guys. I know what y'all are saying. Get rid of this, get rid of that. But there's a buyer beware tag. You know, we got lucky, and now some want to just say sell Kanter. We got kind of lucky because the Thunder saw us coming, trying to get rid of Melo so bad. You know, but we got lucky. We got Kanter. We got McBuckets. That don't happen too often. We got a guy for Hernan Gomez today that we cut. You know, this is, I always think about Marlo when I hang up. I go back to the curse of Patrick Ewing. It's like you start a direction, then you stop the direction. Then you go in another direction. You go with another coach. But it's the players you got that we're getting. Again, look at this. KP, God bless him. I hope he comes back. But we all can't sit here and act ignorant and try to backpedal when we all said, is he going to be injury prone? Is his body makeup NBA ready? Okay, he could shoot the three. He could do this. He could do that. You know, somebody on Twitter today tried to blame Hornacek. Oh, he plays them too much. He's averaging 32 minutes a game, playing 80% of his time on the perimeter. If he was a 7'3" player playing 38 minutes a night banging, I might say, you know what, Hornacek should have backed off a little. But he's 22 years old, playing 32 minutes, and fades after 32 minutes. These ain't coincidences, guys. Sometimes it really is what it is. I'm not wishing no ill on Porzingis, but there's a couple of us on this line right now that were worried about his injury. Injuries. It was only last week when a few of us debated, is he the cornerstone moving forward? Again, I don't want to use the word, I'm glad he got hurt. I'm just going back to what we said not long ago. Is this guy really your cornerstone? Really, think about it. 7'3". What did they say today? Before last night, 33 games in 2.5 years. Out due to injury. We all know about the big man disease. Not many big guys have lasted long, fellas. I mean, we're not throwing. This is what I mean about Knicks fans sometimes. They get too caught up in a name, and they forget about common sense and the actual team. Some of us, like I said, have said this before. The injuries, his disappearing act. This is what we get. This is we want to build, but I get this funny feeling, guys. We just keep getting the wrong picks. And now we want to have a yard sale and get 19, 20 second-round picks. This isn't the NFL, guys. I mean, I know we could probably pull a couple of rabbits out of our hat that became good players in a second-round pick. But we'd have to dig really deep in that hat. So what are you really getting for a second-round pick? Once again, guys, we are in that shitty word. Excuse my language. That word I hate to use, quagmire. We're in a quagmire of what we do with our players. We're in a quagmire of where we sit in the standings. 10 teams below us. There's a lot of those teams we ain't going to catch because they're going to be playing teams that are fighting for playoff position. So where are we going to land next year? Again, 8-11, that's going to be our pick for another horrendous season. I don't know, guys. It's really becoming sad to watch because, again, going to Chandler, I don't want to beat this horse to death. The coach is coaching what he has. And this play to young guys. I don't see that many young guys. Look at the Knicks roster. Look at who we got. I mean, who are the young guys? We got some guys like Kanta and Hardaway who have been in the league for a minute, but they're still only 25 years old. It's not like we got a boatload of 20, 21-year-old first, second, year players. This is what I mean about where do we go from here? We're stuck. We're stuck with Frank. We're stuck with KP. So after those two players, where do you go? I'm serious. I was thinking about this before y'all got on the line. We're talking 2022 now. When we was talking, some cray-crays was talking 2 to 3 years when we got Phil Jackson. Well, guess what, guys? That was 4 years ago now. And now we're talking another 4 to 5 years. I don't have that much time left on Earth, fellas. I'm just going to be honest. I'm probably a little older than a few of y'all, but I don't think I'll ever see another Knicks championship, not at the rate they're going. But that's it for me, Steve.
That is Dominic. Shout out to Dominic, Donardo DP on Twitter. Thank you very much. Let's get to Dre, little Dre to the rack on the gram, and then we go to John, Mr. Live. Let's go to Dre first. Dre, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's good? But man,
awesome.
Wait, can I? Oh, but it's not even a fact of how people even reacted to the injury. At least for me, for the season, because hey, first off, let's hope he get his next speed of recovery. But for the Knicks, when you think you can then never get a new low, they find new ways. I looked like directly in the trade, the two first rounders and some dude named Johnny O'Brien. The Knicks cut him on the same day. And you're telling me the Knicks couldn't even trade Willie. Like, I understand him not getting the much burn, so he couldn't display his talent. But let's be honest, Charlotte hoodwinked us. They knew what type of player they can get in him and what they did. Like, they even have the decency. They give you a first, like a second round pick in this year, or not even next year's draft. They said, no, you're going to have to wait till two years and three more years for this one and this one. Like, that's how much they just took a spit right on the Knicks, and they just took it. Now, first thing, it's not even a problem with them drafting, whether regardless of the second round or first. It's always been the same thing. They can't develop their players. I'm going to read you a fact right here that I found on Instagram. New York Knicks has had more all-rookie first-teamers than any team the past 7 seasons, a.k.a. Shumpert, Landry, Tim, including KP, but he don't count because he actually penned now, and Willie. One out of those 5 guys that are actually still on the team that actually panned out and actually stayed on the team through consistent years, a.k.a. not including Hardaway because he basically got traded, I believe, to the Hawks for Jerian Grant, right? And it makes me sort of nervous to see any rookie we have that we get drafted because it just seemed like for young players like New York just for the past years just seemed like that's a one-way ticket to ruin your whole career, just flatline dead. Now, as you see, what Chandler said about Stephen Mills is just dead on the money. Like, there's nothing else to say. And I'm going to just wait for the – that's all I got to say for now.
All right, shout-outs to Dre. Thank you very much. Let's get to John and then get to Mika and then go back to Ab. But get to John first. John, go ahead and fire away, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum here on the Bleed Blue Show. Go ahead, John, fire away, and then get to Mika.
Okay, what's up, people? How y'all doing?
First and
good,
foremost,
man.
You know what I'm saying? regardless to our inadequacies about KP, man, I know none of us wished that on him. You understand what I'm saying? We had many debates about whether he was the man or not, but you know, never wish that man a, you know, injury of that sort. Maybe some time off, you know what I'm saying, so we could see some other people, but you know, never injury, man. So let's hope he come back better than ever. And let's hope Hardaway, man, can get that post out of his mind. You know what I'm saying? A Giannis jumping over his forehead. So you know, let me also commend Cats for, you know, observing Mills being the facto disease in this, and him overpaying everybody. From THJ to Noah, like he's been right there, man. He's been right there with the garbage, man. So he needs to go. Somebody said it last week. He got pictures of Dolan doing all kind of nonsense for him to keep his job, man. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't compute. It really doesn't. Again, so let's go from here, man. We got 2 years to actually present a team, because we don't have a team now. You understand what I'm saying? You know, even before Willie, we had four players that played the same position, that played the same way, that had all the same strengths and weaknesses. You know, and that really hasn't changed. You understand what I'm saying? We didn't even get more athletic with O'Brien because Curry, due to him trying to save Chico stick money, you know what I'm saying, is waving him. So now, you know what I'm saying, we have the same problem at our two guard. You understand what I'm saying? It's Lee, it's Hardaway, and it's McBuckets and Dotson. You know what I'm saying? Basically being played at the 2 and 3. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Just last night, we just seen how that Beasley is regular Beasley. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I'm not too sure. You know, there's a lot of cats on some of these posts that love Beasley and want him to get a long-term contract. No, that's typical Beasley right there. You know what I'm saying? He checked out. You understand what I'm saying? And we don't need that. So again, right now, it should be a fire sale. What are we talking about, rebuilding? What are we talking about, tanking? I don't, you know what? Listen, we have two positions that are oversaturated. The two guards, we got four players. Five, at the five, we got another three. You know what I'm saying? With Cornette coming in, you know, getting shot. We are stacked heavy. We need to look like Toronto in 2 years. When KP come back, we need to look like Toronto. And the only way to do that is to basically, you know what I'm saying, maybe, you know, somebody said it before, you know, go to Magic Johnson. It's like, look, man, let's go get some athletes. Let's get some running, you know, let's get some 6'8", 6'9", 6'7", cats that play ball. You understand what I'm saying? That want to play some defense. You know, and let's stop, you know, trying to get these shooting specialists and, you know, cats that shoot from the half court line, and let's get some ball players, man, because that's really all Toronto got, man. Toronto ain't got, like, these household names, man, but they got these really run up and down the court, man, and they play like 10 men, except for Valanciunas, man. Them dudes, they running and gunning. So, you know, I think we need to, you know, that's the route we need to go to. And as far as, you know, again, I stated how, you know, we didn't wish, you know, bad times on KP. In saying that, it might be a blessing. Because now, you understand what I'm saying? You're taking a 7'3 cat with the body of a 3 and the height of a 5 and can't play down low to save his life. You understand what I'm saying? This might force KP to go, listen, this is where I can play. You know, I'm a semi-finesse player. I'm tall, but I'm a semi-finesse player. Maybe now I need to keep my ass out on the perimeter. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that, man. I'm feeling very, you know, somebody else said it before, man. I'm optimistic. You know what I'm saying, by saying, okay, look, let's look at Cornette, let's look at Hicks, let's get more look at Dotson, let's let Burke run the show a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? Let's try being a headlights. You know what I'm saying? At the two, I think Frank is a two guard. I don't believe he's a point guard in this league. You understand? He's too slow. You know, let him play that two. Make Jack pass Cat Gatorade. Don't not give him another minute on this court. You understand what I'm saying? He's been a good soldier. He's been doing it. Trying to stay in contention is a waste. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Dom said it best. You know what youth movement do we have? No, let's get that real. Let's really do a youth movement. Let Hornacek play the rest of the season out. Play them young guys, you know what I'm saying? Get them into some rotations and some play calling where it's conducive to winning basketball. And let's move forward, man, and let's make this season and then next season something where we actually building a team, man. We're not worried about catching lightning in the bottle. We going as we studying, we looking at summer league, we looking at these college tapes, man, and we really scouting for these athletes, man, for these brothers that can actually play ball. So this is me, man. You know what I'm saying? So that's about it, man. I'm kinda upset though.
Yo, shout out to John, Mr. Live, checking in with the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. We're gonna go to Tamika. I lead Orange and Blue Sports. Then also go back to Av and get a lot of his commentary from all the stakeholders. But Tamika, you first. I know you have a lot to say. I can't wait to hear what you have to say representing Talking Knicks. Mika, what's the good? How you doing?
How are you? You can hear me?
I'm good.
Okay. So, okay, yes, everything unfortunate what happened to KP. And then everybody expect KP to go to the hole, be forced down below, go up. KP is a perimeter shooter. This is what he's known to do across seas, which is why I still brought him over. Phil didn't bring him over to play post down below. He didn't bring him over for that. The league has changed for shooters. We were just arguing this in my house about this whole conversation. The league has changed. They want shooters. Why we're seeing less defense? You have maybe four, maybe five team tops out there that plays hardcore defense, that plays running gun basketball, like you said, Toronto. You don't see too many of that anymore because the NBA has changed. Moving forward, New York is stuck in a place where they're still trying to play running gun, but then they're still forced trying to play this perimeter basketball, and it's not working. Jeff Hornacek is missing the whole factor and the whole piece of itself. We lost KP. It's unfortunate. Y'all say we don't have young players. I'm 36. 25 is young for me. I'm sorry. They can still run. Vince Carter was still doing it up to about 40, 41, the bench making it, doing what he had to get that back down. We lost Hernandez Gomez. Why? For a guy that we waived in two beyond future round picks, where we could have worked him out. We're losing players left and right. Don Baker's out. You want us to push the tempo, yet you're not playing Burke, you're not playing Frankie. And I agree, I don't believe Frankie is a point. We can't use Frankie as point. Frankie is beyond point guard status. That's not a position he needs to play. Now I'm hearing they're talking, oh, they're bringing over G Leaguers, which brings me, okay, so if the G League players are also playing the same rotation, whichever that is, that we're playing in the NBA, why is it that they look so more thorough at it? Is it because they're younger? Is it because their coaching system seems to know what to do with them? Given the fact that Trey Burke came over and it seems like they didn't even lose a player, given the fact that they're still doing what they have to do over in Westchester. So
it's a toss up. Is it the younger players or is it really coaching? And I'm really feeling that it's coaching because, again, you're burning out your players. Yeah, I mentioned KP burns out after 30 minutes or so. Why not space it out? You know we're going to need him more towards the second half than the first half. Like, have the younger kids, or matter of fact, you know, the rookier players play the first half a little bit more. They're running, they're running, they'll keep up. I mean, it's simple-minded rotations that I can see that could make a difference for this team. If that's what Perry is trying to do, bring over Higgs, bring over, I guess it was another name, I can't even remember the other dude's name. Okay, fine, so now you're bringing over younger talent. But, again, is that going to help us if Jeff doesn't know how to rotate them correctly? You're taking these kids from a system that they're used to and that they know to bring them over to a confusion that's like, what's going on? Because I'm looking at them like, what's going on? I'm lost for words. I'm so lost for words. I really don't even want to use them anymore. Get rid of Jeff. Don't get rid of Jeff. Either which way is going to hurt us. If we bring in over more people, it's not going to make a difference. He's still going to hurt us. They're still going to hurt us. Steve Mills, I don't know if he has a contract, why he's still there. Beats the eyeball out of me. I was voicing, you know, people are starting to decline. Like, so many people on my face, you know, on my Facebook says, like, oh, yeah, we stopped buying merchandise. I don't even watch games no more. I stopped buying tickets. So, you know, if it's a slowly decline that we have to do to show them that we're a little serious about this, this has been too long. I mentioned, like, we've been rebuilding and rebuilding, to me, since Jeff Van Gundy. That was, like, the last time I've actually seen some goodness out of New York, besides Mike Woodson, you know, and a little bit of here and there. But, like, for real, we've been rebuilding and rebuilding and rebuilding. When is it enough? The Garden done got a facelift, and the Knicks are still trying to rebuild. Like, when are we going to catch up? Or are we not going to catch up? What are we holding on to? And that's all I have to say.
That is Tamika. Thank you very much, Tamika Avenue. We have a lot from all the stakeholders. You heard from Marlo Chandler, Dominic Dre, John, Tamika. You heard what I said, of course, and then all the points, man. Great points for all the great Knicks fans and stakeholders. What's your thoughts, Av? And then I'll chime in and we'll go back to Marlo.
At this point, I really don't know what the correct method here is to fix the Knicks. You know, fire Hornacek. Start acquiring draft picks to draft new players. The biggest problem is and this is the biggest thing that I've always been very vocal about. I'm not comfortable with the Knicks drafting players because it's not very often that they actually get somebody and develop him, and then, you know, they become a crucial part of this team. How many different times? How many different draft nights are we sitting here, and, you know, we're waiting for the Knicks pick, whether it's a first rounder or a second rounder, and then when they, you know, they say the name, and we're all like, who? What? Where did these names come from? And it's usually just, you know, somebody making a decision upstairs, probably Steve Mills. I know there was, for a time it was Phil Jackson, and they're just making these boneheaded decisions based on a philosophy that is not really being, you know, openly accepted or, you know, openly practiced. I don't know what you can say about Jeff Hornacek, because to me his offense seems way so predictable that I can sometimes call who's going to take the shot at what point, you know, when the Knicks set up in the half court. It's so disturbing when I can see it from at least 10 seconds out, 15 seconds out. It's like, all right, they're running a screen. Tim Hardaway is going to take a three on the elbow, they're going to shoot out to McDermott at the corner, or Courtney Lee is going to, you know, you can call these things. All you have to do is watch two or three Knick games, and you can pretty much call exactly what the offense is going to be. So, talk about, you know, consistency. It starts from the top, and unfortunately, there's one thing that the Knicks have been consistent at, being inconsistent. And you can blame a lot of it to Dolan. You can blame most of it to Steve Mills. And then, of course, every other general manager that we've had since this whole Dottie Walsh, or even before that. You can blame Scott Layden. You can blame Isaiah Thomas. You can blame Dottie Walsh a little bit. You can blame Glenn Grunewald. You can blame Steve Mills, and then Phil Jackson, and now Steve Mills and Scott Perry. It's the same dumb, idiotic, you know, brain trust that controls the Knicks, that keeps on making these boneheaded decisions, draft the most unknown and unrealistic player for their team, and then of course they can't develop them correctly. Because where's Iman Shumpert now? Where's Tim Hardaway go? Where's Jerry Grant now? You know, I'm pretty sure that Frank Ntilikina is about months away from getting traded himself. And Dotson's probably going to get into the G League, and then you know, we're still going to be paying for Joakim Noah. It's these boneheaded decisions that put us in this bind. And so I look at everyone saying like, oh, let's just tank and go for the draft picks. Like, when have the Knicks ever drafted the guy that you wanted? It's never happened. And at this point, it's. I don't even have the word to say, because I don't even know what it is that you can do to fix the Knicks if Steve Mills is still there. Steve Mills has been there since 1999, hasn't wavered. He's either been the president of Madison Square Garden or the president of the Knicks or the general manager of the Knicks. That's been his whole resume. It's been the Knicks since 1999. You know, he can't even in a short stint as the Players Association president. Because a lot of good that did. But it's – I don't know what to say anymore. Fire Hornacek because his offense is too predictable and the team plays no defense whatsoever because they're all dumbfounded by it. Seems like they're allergic to it. You know, wait for KP6? Well, okay. Well, so he'll be back by the All-Star break next season. What about the first 45, 50 games of that? What do we do then? It's pretty much the same situation, probably even worse. You know, who knows if the Knicks will probably even manage to get 7 games unless some miracle happens, and they have, you know, cap space and they can attract a big name agent to say, oh, okay, well, I'll give the Knicks a try. It sucks. It's a bad time to be a Knicks fan, but. That's why this show exists, because we're going to be because Steve, you and I are going to be very busy this season and probably most of the next season, because we're going to be giving that therapy and try to get people to get off that ledge or take the gun out of their mouth or don't slit their throats or don't take that pill, because some people are going to get suicidal when it comes to these Knicks. Like Tamika said, it's been so long of the same shit. When does it stop? And the answer is, I don't know when to tell you.
That is Knickerbocker Avenue. I want to get to everybody's comments on Instagram and on Facebook. It let them know that they've been listening in, and then we're going to go back to Marlo. So I want to shout out to the people on Instagram first. Shout out to John and Mary. Shout outs to Sean. Shout outs to BK. Shout outs to Lil Mike. Shout outs to, let's see, who else is there? Shout outs to Grave. Shout out to all the people on Instagram chiming in, listening on Instagram, and of course on Facebook, the KGIR fam, Yvette and Lloyd, Heather, Deacon, and Mark. Shout out to Rhonda, of course, and Neil and Cody, and Don was checking in with that. And I'm trying to get to everybody's comments real quick. Let's see. First, of course, from Rhonda says, ACL injuries take the longest to heal, that your knees anchor, no sailing. Dan Wright. Yvette agrees with a lot of the points. Let me see. Jason's shout out to Jason out there in Colorado. I hear you. Historically, we never keep our youngins. I don't see that changing. Unfortunately, I think somebody brought up the development of the players, and that's actually, I definitely agree with that. Let's see. I'm gonna get to Yvette. She says, I would not have given up on Willie because O'Quinn could lead after this season. That's Yvette's comment. Let's see. Corey checking in on us, checking in with us from California. Shout out to Kerry checking in from San Antonio, and Daniel and Terry, Jessica, all these big Knicks fans through the comments. Tamika's all over this on the thread end as well as on air. Lloyd's comment. I don't understand why so many people are mad about Willie Gomez being traded. Dude ain't better than no one else on the squad. Shout out to Lloyd. The Oracle's with us on the stream. Let's see who else. Jessica's comment. I think we have to see what we do tomorrow. Maybe they wanted to do those two picks to roll into a bigger trade. Yvette agrees with Dre's comment. Shout outs to Yvette on that. Miguel's checking in with us. Another comment from Ron. The defense is becoming a rarity with our guys. Shaking my head. Good point, man. And Yvette agrees with the point about an injury is never a blessing. That's totally unfortunate situation. Shout out to Jimmy. I know listening on to the Rangers games right now. Shout out to Mike as well. Rhonda, another comment from Rhonda and other people. Mika's checking in with Tamika, the other Tamika's checking in with us. We need to adopt a philosophy. Will we be a defense of the bad boy squad, a finesse pretty on the paint squad? Know who you are and who you could become and who you want to be. Another comment from Yvette, and then we'll go back to Marlo. Yvette says this league is different. It's 3-point shot now, not like it used to be when I witnessed some of it through the bad boy image with that game against the Cavs. Salutes to Knickerbocker Avenue from the KGYR fan, from Ron and everybody. Shout out to the guys and gals on Instagram and Facebook. So the stakeholders, the E-table, they speak for me as I just shouted out their comments. We're going to go back to Marlo. Marlo, you heard everybody's comments. Please, please fire away, sir, as far as what do you want to go with this as far as the dialogue on what's been said and what has not been said. This is the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum Out of Control episode here on the Bleed Blue Show. Go ahead, Marlo, and then we'll go right back down the line to Chandler, so on and so forth.
Dre, John, and Tamika, I don't really shout you guys out because I'm so bad with names. I hope I got your names correctly, but I wanted to shout you guys out for being on the show. I'm just used to the usuals, you know, the Steve, the Knickerbocker Avs, the Doms, and the Chandlers, because I've been with those brothers for years. But I wanted to actually shout you guys out for everyone's making such terrific points of everything that's going on here. And be honest with you, Knickerbocker Ave, I don't need therapy this season. I really don't. This team has beaten me down so much emotionally, physically, mentally. I'm very numb to the Knicks right now. I'm not saying I'm not a Knicks fan, but I'm just very numb because this is, I have a hashtag Knicks going to Nick because that's what they do. If there's any way something can go wrong or something to be weird or something that you can't figure out, the Knicks are going to do it. They find the way to make the most asinine decisions. Nothing is really right. So I can't see it. Again, I was so many years with the, you guys know, you could go back to the Bleed Blue archives. I had the blue and orange glasses. Oh yeah, we're gonna do it. This is our year. We're gonna make it. Man, I'm like this. The Knicks are gonna find some way to screw it up. And that's what they do. I'm married to the fact that they're gonna mess it up. And guys, I'm not doing it because I'm not optimistic. I'm just doing it because that's my coping mechanism. Is sometimes to cope, you got to just not give yourself hope. You know what I mean? You can't just keep saying that this is going to be good, because think about what we're saying on here, which kills me. And you can, again, go back to the archives. We've been on this Bleed Blue show, which, again, I want to shout out this show because this is the best thing for me as being a Knicks fan is the Bleed Blue show. I'll tell you that right now for these past few years. But we've been saying this for years. Again, I'm telling you, you can take a Bleed Blue show from 2-3 years ago and replay it, and it'll sound like the same thing. Just the play is a different. No direction, no culture. And, again, I'm really, really – agree 1,000,000% with Chandler. This thing with Steve Mills, I don't like that Steve Mills hovers around there. He bothers me. I don't think he's fit for that position. Steve Mills doesn't look like to me he's a mover and shaker. He doesn't look like to me that he ingratiates himself to other GMs and stuff, and he goes in there and talks and gets in the trenches and gets people going. You know, I mean, look at someone like Magic. Magic already, you know, he's a businessman. He has stuff proven behind him. And again, I feel Steve Mills knows where the bodies are hidden with Dolan. He knows where the bodies are because he keeps elevating him to the status of what? What have you done? You should just still take care of basketball operations. But to see, Dolan is more concerned about Steve Mills being a spy than Steve Mills being a deal maker. He just wants him to be his representative and see what's going on with this team without him looking like the quote unquote bad guy. But he's basically a conduit. He's the puppet for Dolan. And again, guys, when we talk about direction, listen to, again, our words. All of us are confused, and we've been confused, because there's not somebody saying, this is it, this is how we're going to do it, this is how things are going to go. We've been begging for that more than winning. Let me know what your plan is. And you want to know another thing which bothers me about this organization? They're very indecisive. Besides their moves that they make, they don't make decisive moves. Like, okay, Joe Kim Noah is a problem, buy him out. Dolan has money to buy him out. Kurt Rambis, still on the bench. For what? He was part of Phil Jackson's tree. You got rid of Phil Jackson. Why is Rambis still there? You know, the lack, when you can't make decisions and make final decisions and not worry about being the bad guy, that shows lack of leadership. Leaders tend to make definitive decisions about what we're going to do. But you know what else is the real caveat and the real problem? And this is why I started protesting against the Knicks last season. The Knicks still are the highest worth of in the NBA. Knickerbocker, I don't remember. I think it's $3.6 billion they're worth, something like that. They're the highest in the NBA. $3.8 billion their value. The highest value. So, again, if I'm Dolan, I'm like, I'm still number one. These idiots are still coming out to see me. They're buying our merchandise. They're spending thousands of dollars on our tickets. You know, business deals are made here. The celebrity row we got going on here. No matter what crap I put out, these people are going to use their money, use their emotion, use their heart for this. And, you know, someone made the point today, which I thought was excellent. The New York teams, we always have two. We have the good one, and we have the not-so-good team. And I'm telling you, the Yankees, of course, are gods because of all the championships they had. They're the only team really we could be proud of. The Giants also had championships in our lifetime, thanks to Eli. And the Rangers, you know, kind of close. I don't really keep up with the Rangers as much as I should. But the Knicks, they should be the one that should be the more respected one. They're always in the conversation with the Giants and the Yankees, but they still have yet to do it. And the NBA offices are in New York City, which makes it even more egregious. So, again, guys, it's just that this thing with this team, there's no leadership. The leadership, and I'm not talking from so much for the coach. I'm talking about from the office. Unless Dolan sells the team, which he'll never do, or he just gets his act together, it's going to be a problem. But he's not going to solve the problem because he keeps earning money off this team. So, guys, we're in, to use Dom's words, a quagmire. The quagmire is Dolan keeps getting richer while we keep, no matter what happens, no matter what's on the floor. I bet you the Garden still be sold out with KP not playing. People still going to go to the Garden. So, and you know, because in New York, basketball is king. You know, the examples I gave you, the Giants and the Yankees, they have championships, but we would do just about anything, get one chip from the Knicks, because basketball is so loved in New York. And the love is showing from all the money that he's making. So, guys, we're going to be in this bad, continuous thing because of the revenue. unless the revenue stops or Dolan, something happens to him, guys, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, I can't see a good outcome because, again, I don't trust him when it comes to trades, just like Knickerbocker Av said. Can you trust him to develop young talent? Can you trust him to draft the right player? Can you trust him to get the right coaching staff? Can you trust him to make a definitive decision on players? Can we really try to put our trust in the next organization that they're going to do the right thing? I'm sorry, guys. I don't see it at all. And I'm not being not a Knicks fan. I'm being a realistic Knicks fan. And, again, the revenue is what speaks. Money speaks to billionaires. Dolan's a billionaire. He keeps making billions. He's fine. So, unfortunately, I think we're going to be stagnant into the situation.
All right. Thank you very much, Marla. Let's go back to Chandler and then get to Dom. Chandler, any additional thoughts and then Dominic?
Yeah. You know, what I'm looking at now is remember when Steve Perry got hired? And remember when just by every week you heard from him? Outside of this week, when was the last
Scott
time you
Perry?
Heard from Steve Perry? Scott Perry. I'm sorry, I say
Scott
Steve,
Perry.
Scott Perry.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Outside of this
yeah,
week,
yeah.
When was the last time you heard from him? Been a while. Hmm. Remember when Donnie Walsh got hired and he said we were going to be transparent and we're going to talk to the media and we're going to talk to the fans? And for about the first month, month and a half, Donnie Walsh just about once a week would come out and talk to the fans, to have, you know, have a little Q&A with the press, let us know what's going on. Then about 3 months in, Donnie Walsh, we just stopped hearing from him. We stopped hearing from him. What's the common denominator there? Dolan and Steve Mills. Scott Perry's not in charge. Scott Perry's not in charge. Steve Mills is in charge because it's Groundhog Day. It's Groundhog Day. It's his organization. It's Groundhog Day. You say, okay, well, how would you fix it? Well, if I'm Scott Perry, I go to Steve Mills and say, either let me be the general manager or fire me. If you fire me, you will never get a competent general manager. And Jesus Christ, they just gave up another goal. Unbelievable. You'll never get another competent GM to come here. I've got to hire a coach. Yeah, it's 6-1. It's ridiculous. I hire a coach who has the gravitas to establish his own culture. I say to that coach, you got a 5-year contract, you're going to be here for 5 years. You do what you got to do. You get the players you want, you develop the players you want, you set the culture, I will get you players. That sounds real simple. Works in a lot of places, like, I don't know, San Antonio, it's working in Boston, it's working in Oklahoma City. For all the crap that those of us say about the Billy Donovan and this, that, and the third, guess what? Billy Donovan is still in Oklahoma City because the general manager is in lockstep with him, regardless of what anybody says. Fred Hoiberg still has a job because he's in lockstep with the general manager, regardless of the fact that we think Fred Hoiberg's a terrible coach. He is setting a culture there, whether we agree with that culture or not, he's setting a culture. We do not have that with this franchise, and we never will. This is the franchise that got rid of Kenyon Martin because they didn't like something he said in an interview. This is the franchise that has PR people standing next to players while they're doing interviews and will end the interview if the PR person doesn't like a question or a response. You want to talk about, oh, why did we get rid of Willie? Why are people upset? Well, I don't know. David Lee, Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari, Nate Robinson. I can go on. Tim Hardaway Jr., Jerry and Grant. These were all players we drafted, and everybody said, oh, they're terrible, and we gave up on, and then not a year to 2 years later, we've been looking for Jamal Crawford since we got rid of Jamal Crawford. We had Jamal Crawford. We had David Lee. And the same people that screamed he was no good 2 years later said, we need a David Lee. The same people that said Wilson Chandler ain't that great are still talking about, man, we need to get us a Wilson Chandler. We need to get us a guy like J.R. Smith. We need to get us a guy like DeMar Shepard. We had all of them. We had them all. So here's the thought. How about we actually develop them and play them? But that requires the management of this organization to pick a direction and get the hell out of the way. I don't see that happening. I don't see it happening. I'm with Dom on that. I've seen two championships, so I'm good. Okay? I've seen two. I'm good. I'd like to see a third,
But if I never see another one, I've seen two. I'm okay with that. Well, actually, I'm not okay with it, but you understand what I mean. I'm not okay with it. But I've seen two. I can die saying I've seen the Knicks hoist the championship trophy. I would like for all of you to see that. I don't know if it ever happens because they can't. They choose not to do this the right way, which is set a culture and stick with it. Because right now, how many years away are we again? Even if we keep all these guys, Cantor is not opting out, so you have to get rid of him because you cannot keep him at that price. No one's going to give him that money, so he's going to be smart and opt in. The Knicks talk about they're trying to eat cap space, so guess what? Cantor is probably going to be moved. I hope he doesn't, but he'll probably be moved. You probably move O'Quinn. You probably move Lee. What does that leave you with? That leaves you with Cornet and Nigel Hayes. Nigel Hayes, who couldn't get run with the Lakers 15 days ago because they had him on a 10-day contract, and they said, oh, yeah, you got to go. We don't want you anymore. These are the people we're bringing up. And I got people on Twitter saying that they're better than, now we got them. It's going to be good. Really? Really? Nigel Hayes is the answer? Really? I mean, he could be. We'll never know. Until this management decides to get the hell out of the way, we're going to continue to have this conversation year after year.
Chandler, that is Chandler Knight, Chandler 7 on Twitter. Thank you very much. Let's go to Dominant. Dominant, you're up. I'll go ahead and fire away, and we'll get to Dre, John, Tamika, Avin, and wrap up. Go ahead, Dominant.
It's strange because listening to Chandler and Marlo, because some of us have been in this since the beginning or at least together, it's like Marlo said, you could go back 3 years ago when we got Robin Lopez and Afalu, and then 6 weeks later, we was like, what the hell? You know, it seems like, and going to John brings up a great point. You know, you get these young guys. We play these young guys. But with our revolving door, these young guys won't be around no more. We'll be doing that revolving door again, like we've been doing. And we'll get hoodwinked that this is the way to go. You know, and the person on Facebook, as I was reading some of the comments, we mentioned that before too. It's a shooter's league. It's an offensive league. We can say what we want about. We need a lockdown defender. Yeah, they're great to have. But it's a scoring league now. And to Tamika's point, our lack of offense is because we're still trying to catch up from the hole Phil Jackson put us in. He wanted to draft and get players that fit into that triangle. So that put us 2 years behind. It's just like a revolving door. It's sad. Like Chandler said, we'll get rid of all these players for cap space. And what are we going to do with the cap space? Who's going to come to this bizarre organization? You could have all the cap space in the world. Because guess what? If the Knicks wanted to use money, if the guy that owns Cleveland could blow out that luxury tax every year to keep Cleveland competitive and all the money Dolan has, and we didn't do it, that's sad. So cap space means nothing to the Knicks organization. Nothing. And the funny thing is, when we talk about Perry, we had this conversation a year and a half ago. If we're going to get rid of Phil, why don't we go out and try to recruit, get somebody that's an assistant, a young GM, to move forward with these young guys, in the event we keep them, that is. But go with a youth movement throughout. We can't keep bringing in these recycled pieces. Oh, you know, Perry did good with the Pistons. How long ago was that? How long ago was that? Y'all just finished saying Mills has been here since 99. My math, that's 19 years. And we keep recycling these pieces. It's just like our draft picks. We're gonna sit here and say, oh, you know what? The Knicks got rid of Hernan Gomez, who I wasn't a big fan of. It is what it is. But we're going to sit here and say, oh, they got rid of Gomez. But we got a second-round draft pick. Really? We can't do nothing with our first-round picks. Somebody else brought up a good point. Every one of these draft picks turned out to be good players. First, second, team, rookie. And they're all gone. And Hardaway came back. So it's that revolving door mentality. And you know what? Again, going to my boy Marlo, yes, it is about leadership. And the short version of leadership is the ability to influence those who think they can't get the job done to get it done for the betterment of the team. That's the short version, guys. We've never had that. Not since, I can't even go back that far. Maybe Pat Riley, because Pat Riley had that in-your-face type leadership, but he led you there. We haven't had that in years. We get this revolving door, this recycling stuff. And then what do? The one time we decide to think out the box, we bring in the ultimate recycled guy, Phil Jackson. And he has put us 3, 4, 5 years behind. And we're still talking about 2022. That's a long time, guys, to be saying, I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to hang in there. It's going to get better. We're going to rebuild. When we don't know what they're doing, Chandler brings up a good point that we mentioned last week. Ain't heard a peep from the Knicks. We didn't know why Noah wasn't playing. Had to hear it on TV. This is the bizarre thing about the Knicks. So we could have all the cap space in the world, guys. We discussed that 3 years ago when we had cap space and we got the Robin, the Lopez's, the Follows, the Derrick Williams, and everybody was like, oh, man, that's a pretty good nucleus. But guess what? When you did the math, they were 9 points, 8 rebounds, 11 points. They were who they were, but we was bamboozled to think this is our move going forward. What did we do with that? We scratched that the next year. We went in another direction, scratched that. And here we are again, probably not going to – we'll probably have the same record we had last year. And then we'll all sit back and watch the draft, and the Knicks will draft somebody, and we'll say, wow, that's a great piece moving forward. When I say forward, guys, somebody got to answer the question for me. What is forward? When does forward stop? You know, we sat back and we called the Yankees the evil empire for years, but they put the brakes on and they said, you know what? We haven't sold a lot of our young talent. How about we start playing them? How about we keep them? How about we have confidence in them? And now look at the Yankees. Yeah, they went out and bought a couple of pieces, but they stood their ground. They stood with their nucleus. Ryan Cashman could probably run the Knicks and the Yankees. I always say this, guys, because I'm a bigger Yankee fan than I am a Knicks fan. The Knicks organization needs to get their ass on the train and go down to 161st Street and see how a real organization is run. It's consistency, guys, and it's the pride of wearing them pinstripes. We don't have that with the Knicks. We could talk orange and blue for life till we die. There's a big difference between the orange and blue and the blue pinstripes, and it's about pride. We haven't had pride in this organization in years, and that's what losing does. It drains a little bit of pride you might have had. This isn't brain surgery, guys. The Mets have won a championship since the Knicks. The Mets. I'm good, Steve. We'll be all right.
All right. Thank you, Dominic. Let's go to Dre and then go back to John. And then get the Mika. Go ahead, Dre, real quick. We got about 10 minutes, so everybody can get about 2 to 3 minutes and then go to Ab. Go ahead, Dre, and fire away, and then we go to John and then to Mika.
Can rebuild if they never even had that thought in the first place. The Knicks, how they handle trades, sign fringes, et cetera, goes back so deep, it was going to screw them up. Like back in the Bryony trade, where it was a 2016 pick, that was a top 7 pick. Now, in terms of saying that's an excuse, saying, oh, we didn't get the first round because, number one, it's talent is talent. You're telling me you have a whole nother D-League, well, G-League affiliation, and you telling me you cannot find a person at that position, whether it's a 3-2 or 1, that's running gun and had to show the basics of handling the ball and capability of shooting 3? Because the one thing, I forgot who brought the Spurs and Raptors, but the one team I think one of y'all forgot was Miami. Now, say what you want about Pat Riley, but what how he done his team was just phenomenal. He got the pieces, you know, like the, his two main pieces are Hassan Whiteside and Draghi. Then Winslow. Looking back at that team, that reminds me of the team when the Knicks had, if not 1-2 years ago, and when the Knicks, right before they did the free agency, I promise you, I was probably on the stakehold, and I said, when we had that cap space, I said, don't spend a dime. Because I said, the only people that was going to come here was people that was going to get overpaid looking for a check. Noah, Lee, Robin, etc. And the like Chandler said, the lack of pride was just sickening. It's gotten to the point you feel like you just used to seeing this, and the only direction you ever see them have was actually money. And the lack of players that they even tried to scout is horrifying. If you did not have a draft pick in 2016, or let's say the 2014, you're telling me you couldn't have at least give a shot up to people like how we gave to Langston Galloway? Like the one player we had, well, for two games, the Nasus Antetokounmpo. Energy, 6'6", 6'7". In other words, he was DeMar Shumpert. And what I said about DeMar Shumpert, lockdown D and 3 and D. But with the Knicks, like I said before, I'm more scared of the young people that go there because, like I said, that's basically where their careers are going to get killed. And it's backed up by the numbers. Every single time we had someone in their rookie year, like DeMar Shumpert, his best season was his rookie year. Never got them to develop. And look what happened. He got traded, and we got penny and dimes. This ain't the first time one with Willie happened. Remember how we was having like the worst season for the Knicks? J.R. Iman got traded, and all we had was two second round draft picks. Oh, I can't talk. And we couldn't be able to use them until after 2 years. Maybe it was actually three. Now I think about it. But anyway, that's all I got to say. There's just not enough more to say about this.
Well, Drake to the rack. Thank you very much, little homie. Appreciate that, man. Let's go to John and then Tamika. We got about 5 minutes left. So, you know, about 2 minutes each if you guys sign off on anything else you guys said. So go ahead, John, and then Tamika, and then go to Adam.
And Chandler and the brothers speak, man, you know what I'm saying? It's very bleak because we really can't look forward to nothing because everything is a consistent. The front office and they bungles, you know, the cultivating the rookies and draft picks, the spending, and then not staying put with the free agents. So, you know, my thing is, man, the only thing I got hope for is the demeanor that I feel coming off of Perry. Perry got kind of like the same thing that the old cat from Indiana had. You know what I'm saying? I feel like he's with rebuilding, and he's rebuilding it in a certain way. So I'm hoping that we go towards young and athletic and not, you know, this, you know, keep the pseudo fans in the garden, you know, appeased by, you know, getting these stars. You know, let's hope they on a true youth movement, man. Because we need athleticism. We don't need plotters and prototypical centers no more, man. The prototypical center of today's NBA is Draymond Green, man. Unfortunately, so let's get it, man. Let's pray and hope that you know the Knicks can, well, you know, Perry is our saving grace. Let's hope that Perry is our saving grace. All right, peace.
Shout out to John, man. Always spitting fire on social media with the Knicks, man. It's always great to have him on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Appreciate that. Tamika, I believe Orange and Blue Sports Talk, your final, I guess you could say your final thoughts, and then we go to Av. Go ahead, Tamika. Tamika. I know she's there. Go ahead, Tamika. You're on.
Hello. You can hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
So,
there you go. Perfect.
To the Dom situation with the Phil Jackson, because you guys and I just love Phil. That's my man. So we all screamed and we didn't have direction. We didn't have a system. But Phil was the only one coming in with some type of direction or some type of system. Now, Mills didn't get his way because Phil wasn't going to allow Mills or Dolan to get his way, which is why he was recruiting his players, which is why he was building his players towards his system. What stopped him? Carmelo. Oh, that system is old. We're not running that system. Nobody uses that system anymore, but yet it was a system. Only thing we had to do was implement it, try it, and tweak it to the best of our ability to fit New York style of play. I don't like that whole situation. We had some type of direction going there, and we shut that down by letting Carmelo voice his opinion. Then LeBron jumped in, and then it was like, okay, now Shea doesn't know what he's doing, so now we shut him down. We're back at square one, rebuilding again from a structure we don't know nothing about because Phil was building this structure. So moving forward, the only way to fix the situation now is to hit Dolan in his pockets. That $3.6 billion should shrink to about $1.2 million. If we're going to really be gangster, let him smell where we're coming from. Let him feel where we're coming from. Let him feel our pain. Because this is tiring. It's exhausting. I can start talking junk to all the other basketball players at the beginning of the year. Then by mid-quarter, like now, all starting like, Nick, where you at? You know, you was talking junk all season. Where you at now? Like, I'm a little tired of that, you know? I bleed blue. I'm going to stay bleeding blue, but the only way to solve this solution is for us to start hitting him in his pocket. Have a good night, and everybody bleed blue.
Shout out to Tamika. Thank you very much. Avenue, you heard from everybody. Your final thoughts you could say, and then we'll wrap it up. Go ahead and think about Avenue, our source for the street.
You know, as always, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And my final thought is more like a statement. This goes without saying, we all bleed blue. We all bleed orange and blue to the fullest. But let's be real. 3 years, except for one good season, the Knicks have been a dumpster fire. A really bad one. And it keeps on burning and festering and eating within our very soul. Because we, the Knicks fans, are the ones that are suffering. We're the ones looking at management who don't want to make, who don't want to take press conferences, who don't want to do open forums, who refuse to address and stand by the decisions that they make, but we still have to suffer through them. We suffered through Scott Layden. We suffered through Isaiah Thomas. We suffered through Donnie Walsh, Glenn Grunewald, Steve Mills, and Phil Jackson, and now we're back to Perry and Mills. I'm with Tamika on this. I've always been a fan of boycotting the New York Knicks and let fans know that it's time to let Dolan know. All these times we've been looking for a change, and then he makes the small minute change, but keeps the same personnel in place. What sense does that make? The organization is fucked up. Pardon my language, but it's fucked up. But here we are. Steve, I said it before. You and I are going to be very busy this year, throughout the off season, and, of course, next year before Porzingis gets back, unless some kind of miracle happens and the basketball gods finally bless us. But as always, I'm Knickerbocker Av. I bleed blue all day, every day. Sangre Azul. Take it away, Steve.
Shout out to Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the Knicks, man, for our great Knicks contributors, the Knicks stakeholders, Marlo Chandler, Dominic Dre, John Tamika, of course, Av. There's been a recurrent theme I've been saying on all the podcasts, not just the Knicks, but the Rangers and the Giants going to be tomorrow. The Knicks are soft, man. And just like the Rangers are soft, the Giants are soft. there's a, like a soft culture with the, this personnel and the way about it's not hard nosed enough on the court for the Knicks. And it's really sad to say. I know we're out of town, out of time, but I can't thank enough to, like I said, Marlo, Chandler, Dominic, and Dre, and John, and Tamika, and Av, and all the contributors and contributions from Instagram and Facebook on their comments. I mean, we're Knicks fans, man. We're frustrated, but we're going to talk it out each and every week. We've been here for a while now, and we're not going nowhere. This episode, to hear all these great points and ideas and thoughts and opinions is on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, your Stitcher apps, or you could go to bleedblueshow.com/podcast. All the links, all the episodes, definitely share on your social media, your emails with family and friends. Great, great, great dialogue. Nonetheless, we're not going nowhere. We're Knicks fans, we got to stick together. And this is what this platform is about, man, sticking together and having a nice dialogue for the good, the bad, the ugly. Sangre Azul will be back next Wednesday. The Knicks could lose every game for the rest of the year. This Bleed Blue show ain't going nowhere. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.